Let us pray. Brother Jesus, light of the world, Prince of Peace, open our hearts to the coming of your kingdom in these times of struggle, loneliness, and confusion. As we enter the deep darkness, may your gift of peace enlighten our days and fill our world with hope. Amen. Good morning. I would like to begin today's reflection by sharing with you a personal Christmas story from many years ago. In 1985, many years ago, after graduating university, I set off on a four-month adventure, traveling to China, Nepal, and India, with a backpack full of wanderlust and a desire to see the world. After hiking in the Himalayas in Nepal for several weeks, I caught a series of trains to the northern Indian state of Bihar. While in Nepal, I had met many Tibetans who were making this same long journey by foot to the historic town of Bodh Gaya, the place where the Buddha is believed to have attained enlightenment. Such a pilgrimage is the equivalent for Buddhists as a trip to Mecca would be for Muslims, or a trip to Jerusalem is for Jews and Christians. To make this year's pilgrimage even more special, I learned that the Dalai Lama, the spiritual leader of all the Tibetan Buddhists, was going to be speaking for several days on the theme of world peace. Now, Indian trains don't move very quickly, so I had lots of time to meet fellow travelers and to engage with people from all around the world, something I love about traveling. During the last overnight stretch of the journey, I met Peter, a young American around my own age. Immediately, Peter and I discovered that we had much in common, and we talked late into the night about religion, spirituality, and the lives we lived back home. Peter told me that he knew of a Canadian Jesuit priest living in Bodh Gaya, who often took in travelers, so we agreed to try and find him to see if we might obtain lodging there. We left the train station just as the sun was beginning to rise, traveling by rickshaw. Our rickshaw puller seemed to know where our Jesuit priest contact lived, and he pulled us through some beautiful Indian countryside on the edge of town as mists were rising from the deep red soil with the heat of the morning sun. We arrived at the gates to the church compound to the sound of nuns singing the morning prayer. It was hauntingly beautiful, and we fell into deep contemplation as we rested against the church walls. Shortly thereafter, when the voices ended, a short, friendly, elderly priest came out of the church doors, took one look at us with our backpacks, and exclaimed, "You're looking for a place to stay. Come in, we have lots of room." When the priest, whose name unfortunately I have long forgotten, learned that I was from Canada, he became even more animated, hungry for news of his homeland and a connection to one of his countrymen. This remarkable man, we learned over breakfast, had been living in this small Indian community for over 35 years, ministering to the poor and the sick, and operating a church welcoming to all. At the end of breakfast, he insisted that we stay as long as we wanted, and that we be sure to join in the Christmas Eve candlelight service that was happening that evening. Yes, it was December 24th, a fact I had almost forgotten in the events of the day and in the timelessness of traveling without concern for calendars or dates. After being shown a room where Peter and I could stay and thanking the priest, we made our way to the temple area not too far away where the Dalai Lama was to be holding a public audience throughout the day. As we drew near, it unfolded before us. Over 200,000 Tibetan Buddhists from around the world were camped out in colorful tents and makeshift structures as far as the eye could see. Pots of tea were steeping over small fires. Children were running and laughing. Countless monks in saffron and burgundy robes chanted together in prayer. And everyone who caught our eye gave us big warm smiles, a small bow, and the traditional greeting of Namaste, which in Sanskrit means, I salute the God within you. After weaving our way through this festive and beautifully chaotic sea of humanity, we eventually found the special section provided for Westerners who would need translation into English of the Dalai Lama's presentation. Our Jesuit priest friend had told us about this service for foreigners. Peter and I found our place among many other bewildered-looking foreigners and sat on the bare ground under shade cloth in the now scorching heat of the Indian sun. After opening prayers, chanting, and numerous protocols, the Dalai Lama took the stage to speak. The exact words he spoke have faded somewhat from my memory, but I do remember witnessing the rapt attention of thousands of people, hour upon hour, as this holy man kept the crowd spellbound with his message. I remember thinking, this is what it must have felt like for the multitudes who sat captivated in the presence of Jesus, knowing that this was truly a man of God, and that the words they were hearing would change their lives. The Dalai Lama preached that it is our common humanity and the common divinity within us that is the basis for world peace. If we understood our true nature, he said, there would be no more war, no more hunger, no more violence. We are all from the same origin, and we are all heading to the same destination. It is the heart of compassion, he claimed, that is common to all of the world's religions, and practicing compassion is our greatest hope for a more unified and a more peaceful world. I could not have imagined a message more suited to Christmas Eve and more true to the wisdom of my own Christian tradition. How moving it was for me to hear such a vision spoken halfway around the world and from the mouth of one of the great spiritual leaders of the East. Peter and I lingered with the crowds to soak in more of this beautiful energy and to share our reactions to the Dalai Lama's talk. Before long, the sun was setting, and we knew it was time to return to the church for Christmas Eve Mass. By the time we returned to the church, it was already brimming with people. Our new Jesuit friend welcomed us in and showed us to a spot on the floor. There were no pews, no chairs in that church, just straw mats on the ground for the faithful, young and old, and dogs and chickens alike. While the service was in Hindi, there were some English Christmas hymns, and of course, the familiar patterns of the liturgy. We were made to feel very welcome during the sharing of the peace and the breaking of the bread, and the warm smiles and nods of all those around us. At the end of the service, and after countless greetings of Merry Christmas, the priest took us aside and told us that the majority of people gathered were both Hindu and Christian at the same time, and that there were Muslims and Buddhists present as well. In India, he said, people are free to practice many religions. And at least in his region of the country, this had never been a cause for conflict or strife. The hour was now late, but instead of retiring, we walked with many others from the church with our lit candles in hand to the Buddhist temple and the ancient Bodhi tree marking the place of the Buddha's enlightenment. There, thousands of people of many faiths were walking in silence and in prayer in long, wide circles around the holy tree, with candlelight filling the night with a warm and radiant glow. A chorus of people of many faiths, from many places near and far, joining in a festival of light, giving witness to the cause of peace and proclaiming hope to the world. It remains one of the most powerful experiences of my life. And that is how I spent my Christmas in 1985. So where can we find such hope in our Christmas season of 2020? It has been, by all accounts, for most of us, a very challenging year. Advent, as you know, by definition, is a time of waiting, of longing, of hoping for the light of Christ to be born yet again into our lives and into our world. And more than that, it's the time of the year when we are urged to continually open ourselves to the birth of the Christ in our lives and in our communities. Today's reading from Isaiah points to the kind of hope that is incarnated into our world through the coming Christ. This text comes at a time of much turbulence, uncertainty, and confusion for the Jewish people. They have just returned from the exile with great hopes for their homecoming, and what they find in their homeland is devastation and destruction, their former lives reduced to smoke and ashes. They are disheartened, despairing, and wondering perhaps if they would have been better off to have stayed in Babylon. In the midst of this despair, the prophet exclaims, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and to release the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations." Some 500 years later, Jesus so strongly identifies with this vision of God's kingdom that he reads this very same text from Isaiah in the temple when he officially begins his ministry, as recorded in the Gospel of Luke. For Isaiah and for Jesus, the promised peace of the kingdom of God brings good news to the oppressed, liberty to captives, comfort to the brokenhearted, and liberty to all who are imprisoned. It includes the rebuilding of lives that have been torn apart by historical events beyond their control. So many of us these days are feeling that same kind of oppression, brokenheartedness, and imprisonment that both Isaiah and Jesus describe. We may wonder if the lives we knew can ever be rebuilt and repaired. What kind of new normal might emerge when the devastation of the pandemic finally ends? This Advent time of longing and waiting for the good news, comfort, and liberty in our own lives can also lead us further into the heart of compassion that seeks to bring God's peace to all who suffer in this broken world. Advent can reconnect us more deeply to the common humanity that we share with our suffering brothers and sisters throughout the world, and to the common divinity that is the ground of all being. The Christ waits and longs to be born yet again, no matter how dark and desolate the night may seem. The question is, are we ready and willing to make room, to be God's midwives to the divine birth in our world, to light a candle for peace in our times? Let us pray. Creator God, Lord of light, come and fill this world with your peace. May there be an end to hatred and division among your people. Cease all the fighting and war in this world. Heal the bitterness and hurt in our own hearts. In this season of Advent, prepare a way in the wilderness of our hearts for the coming of the Christ, our wonderful counselor, our Prince of Peace, that all may know the love, compassion, and healing of your kingdom. Amen.